Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Doing pretty well. You braved the Spring Forward Sunday, so you guys did great. You braved the Spring Forward. I know this is a crazy Sunday for a lot of people to get up and realize. I remember I set my alarm and I was like, "Oh, sweet, I'm gonna get some good hours of sleep." And then I remembered, "Oh, we're gonna spring forward, and there's another hour that I'm losing right here." But we're so glad you guys are here. I believe it is an honor and a privilege to be here this morning to worship with you guys and worship with the worship team. And I'm honestly excited about what God is gonna do. And so I'm excited to do church this morning and to open up God's Word and to see what it has for us. And we're starting a brand new series called Gaining Ground. And Jason and I are incredibly excited to teach through this series. And we believe that we can gain ground spiritually, because I don't know about you, but sometimes it feels like I'm just spinning my wheels sometimes. I feel like I can't get anywhere. And I have to go back to what Scripture says and get a couple of footholds to really help me to move forward in what God has for us. But I do want to stop and celebrate for a second, because the last couple weeks we've been doing small group signups. And just want to let you guys know that we had people sign up for small groups, and they actually launched this week. And we have one in Beaufort that launched. We had two in Bluffton that launched. We have a mom's group that is starting this Wednesday, a men's group that is starting in the next couple of weeks. And it has been an exciting time. And my small group meets here in Bluffton as well. And so it was great to get around in circles with those people who have been coming to church and hanging out. And I've seen them in rows, but then see in small group and get to know each other really as a family. And so it's been an incredible moment. I just wanted to celebrate that fact as a church, because one, that's our very first small group launch, right? It's our very first small group launch, our very first time doing that, and that's exciting. That's exciting to see what God is already doing, and we had some incredible time of praying for each other and really just getting to know each other's stories. And so if you're still wondering about a group or like, hey, should I plug into one? There's still time. We haven't dived straight into the study yet. We got some extra books if you want to. We're going to sign up there in the Connect Center as well. But today we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14. We always put the scripture on the screens for you as well. And then if you want to take notes, we're going to do a couple of bullet point notes here as well. But before we do, I just want to pray for us and ask God just to move and work here this morning. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the incredible weather that you have given us. Thank you for that there are no more sand gnats right now. And God, I pray that you will speak through me, God. I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase. God, I pray that your word will encourage our hearts. I pray that whatever we walked in with today, I pray that it is released in the name of Jesus, God. I pray that whatever is weighing us down, that is holding us back, or anything in our lives, God, I pray that we can move forward and gain ground in what you've called us to do, God. We love you and ask this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. You guys are alive and well. That's very good. Do you remember your first car, the first car you bought? I don't know if you remember your first car. Mine was a 1986 Blazer. It was a blue Blazer. It had the seats in the back that folded down. It had the bucket seats up front, and it was a blue Blazer. My buddies and I were so excited to have that because we could go fishing at the lake, roll the seats down, and have that whole thing available. We could camp out at the lake. It was just a cool car to have, except when I really wanted it to be efficient. Because it was as old as I was born in 1986. I'm not showing my age, but 31, and I remember we were the same age. Me and the car were both 16, and I was excited to have this car. But my mom loved this car because it would only go 55 miles per hour, and at 55 miles per hour, it'd go and it'd start to shake, and the wheels would start turning. I'm trying to hold on, and my arms, my biceps are hurting, trying to steer this car. Like, oh, what's about to happen? But it only went 55, so she loved it. She loved that I only had a car that only went 55 miles per hour. And every once in a while, I remember it would break down on the way to school or on the way to wherever I was going, practice or whatever it was, and it would break down on the side of the road, and I'd have to, like, get out of my car, and I would, like, jog home and get my bags and get myself, oh, I gotta go to practice, see you later, or get my buddy to pick me up. That was a regular thing that happened with that car. But I was 16, right? Like when you're 16, you're excited to have something that can get you away from the house, you can get driving. But I remember thinking about that car when I was studying this message. I feel like sometimes that can happen in life, just like we talked about, that we feel like we can get going, and I'll have weeks where I'm saying, man, this is an incredible week. I feel like I'm growing in my relationship with God. I feel like I'm connecting. I feel like this is where I need to be, and then something will happen. Like when a car would break down, or maybe in our life, and something would happen physically, or a circumstance, or a situation would happen, we feel like, oh, like that would happen in our life. Or maybe if it's been like me, I've lost a job before, and I remember sitting back thinking, going, what do I do now? What is happening now? Or maybe there's something that there are moments where we've spent in hospitals with our kids and going, God, what is going on right now? And it feels like I was in the motion. I felt like it was going really, really well. And then all of a sudden something happened. And it's like, oh, I have a setback. Oh, I thought I was going to take this step, and I thought I was going to get a breather this week. And then it feels like just constant spinning and spinning and spinning. And during those times, I always want to go back to God's Word, go back to Scripture and say, what does His Word tell us about how even in those moments can I push forward, can I grow spiritually, can I grow closer to God, and even help somebody else in those trying times with myself? And I'm super excited about this Scripture today. 1 Samuel chapter 14. It is an incredible piece of Scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 14. And it's a story about a man named Jonathan. And Jonathan is the son of King Saul. Not to be confused with the New Testament Saul, who later became Paul, but this was King Saul. And he had just started to become king, but the problem was that under his leadership, he started to feel the pressure of leadership, and he started to lose his character and drift from God. And we see here in 1 Samuel 13 that God even proclaims and testifies and says, hey, we are going to anoint a new king, a man after God's own heart. And he's prophesying that that's going to be David. And so we see this begin to set up here, and Jonathan, and they're getting ready to go into battle. And they're going to battle. If you remember David and Goliath, have you ever heard of the story David and Goliath? If you grew up in church, maybe you heard that story or you've heard it before. It's a very popular story in the Bible of David and Goliath. And this is going to happen a few chapters later in 1 Samuel 17. But Jonathan here is the son of King Saul. And we're going to see here in just a second, we're going to start reading in verse 1, chapter 14. And we're going to get a picture of what is going on here. And I don't want to give it away. I just want to read it straight from Scripture so you know I'm not making it up here. And verse 1, if you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Chapter 14, it says, one day Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side. But he did not tell his father. Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree in Migron. There's going to be some crazy names right here in the next few sentences. With him were about 600 men, among whom was Ahijah, who was wearing the ephod and was a son of Ichabod's brother Ahitub, son of Phinehas. I don't know who's in charge of making names then, but it's a pretty crazy name right there. But some of these are significant. We're going to talk about them. Then the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh. No one was aware that Jonathan had left. You see these group of names. They're sitting, hanging out under a pomegranate tree. So they found the shade, Saul and about 600 men. Instead of fighting the Philistines, they're sitting back because they're really unsure what to do right now. Saul is not sure what to do in his plan of attack, and so he's sitting back and he's sitting under the shade of a pomegranate tree. But it talks about who is with him. And it says that there were the sons of Levi, or the son of Eli. And that is the royal priest line that is there with Saul. He has men of God who are sitting right next to him. And he's asking and he's wondering and he's not taking any action. And he's sitting under this pomegranate tree, sitting in the shade, and he's not gaining any ground here in this army. And we even see that the name Ichabod, which is a crazy name, Ichabod's name, but it means that the glory of God is gone. The glory of God is leaving. And we believe and see that, that's a testifying, a prophecy there in that moment, that the glory of God was leaving Saul and was moving, and God was going to begin to bless and anoint King David. And later we see that Jonathan, as we pass here on verse 4, that Jonathan left. He saw an opening. He saw an opportunity for the battle here in verse 4. And it says, on each side of the path that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One was called Bozez and the other was Sinai. One cliff stood to the north toward Michmash. I love that name, Michmash. The other, the south toward Gibeah. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the outpost, those uncircumcised men. He's talking about the Philistines who he's going to meet. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. I want you to underline this if you're taking notes or highlighting. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. And can I be honest with you, when I read that verse, I feel like God stopped me on that verse. He said, perhaps the Lord will work on my behalf. Perhaps the Lord will work on our behalf. And then he later in the next verse, it says, nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. And a lot of times in my life, I'll sit back and I'll look at the people who are around me, or look at what's going on around me, and I'll look for validation by the number of people who are supporting and around me. And God is going, we need to change our perspective. That yes, to bring people around us to help us, but don't let the size of the crowd that is around us determine the outlook for victory. God is saying, I can take a few and nobody can hinder the Lord. I can take a few and I can show you victory. I can take a few and I can change the world. God said, I'm going to select 12 men and take that 12 men and take the gospel all the way around the world. And he sees here that it is only Jonathan and only Jonathan and his armor bearer. See, back in earlier in the chapter, we see that the Philistines, they had taken over the land. And since they've taken over the land, they decided to get rid of all the blacksmiths. So they couldn't build and make any weapons. And the scripture tells us that King Saul and Jonathan are the only two that have a sword. Out of their entire army, they're the only two that have a sword. And Saul has his sword, and guess what he's doing? He's under the pomegranate tree, under the shade, with the 600 men, who are the people who he's supposed to be leading. But Jonathan takes what he has and takes action. He trusts God with what he has, and he moves forward and pushes that. I'm going to give you the first foothold right here. The first foothold is our belief will drive our steps. Our belief will drive our steps. What we believe, and some people would say, what our theology says in our heart will drive what steps we take. And what whatever we believe about God will drive our steps. If we believe God it can't move or can't use the people that are around us, can't use what He has given us, then it'll hold us back. But if we believe that perhaps the Lord will work on our behalf, that nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. If we believe that with our hearts, we know that we can move forward and we can open up God's word and believe His promises and believe His truth. If we believe that first, it will drive our steps. We're going to continue here in verse 7. It says, do all that you have in mind. This is the armor bearer speaking back, and he's saying, hey, let's go charge after these 20 Philistines. Do all that you have in mind, his armor bearer said. Go ahead. I am with you, heart and soul. Jonathan said, come on then. We will cross over towards them and let them see us. If they say to us, wait there until we come to you, we will say where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, come up to us, we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands. Jonathan steps back and goes, okay, we're going to walk up, and if they invite us to come up onto these hills, the Philistines, Jonathan and his armor bearer are walking in a valley, and up on this mountaintop are the Philistines, and on the other side there's another mountaintop. And so he's walking in a valley, and he says, when we walk up, if they invite us up, we know the Lord is with us, and we're going to attack. If they do not invite us up, we're not going to attack. We're gonna go back and redirect our plan. And so then it goes here on verse 11. So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. Look, said the Philistines, the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they are hiding in. The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson. Right there, just in that moment, they invited Jonathan up, just as he had predicted. And in that moment, he had to decide, am I going to believe what God has called and what God has said, that perhaps he will work on our behalf? Am I going to believe that God can do anything in a few? And in that moment, he believes. And we're going to stop right there, because I have another foothold I want us to see, is whenever we feel stuck and we feel like we need to push forward, one is to say, what do I believe? I got to get back to the root, get back to the roots. If you grew up playing sports, and if you grew up playing baseball and you're getting ready to hit, or football, or any of those sports, or even gymnastic, if you get off what you're going and you feel like you can't get a groove, they always tell you to go back to the basics. Go back to the basics and go back to what it is. And God is saying, go back to saying, what do we believe with our core of who God is? And go back to believe and allow that to drive and energize our steps. And next, the foothold number two is calibrate towards God's direction. Calibrate, I love this definition. It says, calibrate the readings of an instrument with those of a standard in order to check the instrument's accuracy. My wife and I and a couple of our kids, we got to do something that I have never done before. You see, I grew up in south of Atlanta, about 20 minutes from downtown Atlanta, in the suburbs of Atlanta, and we didn't have a ton of money growing up. I mean, my parents, when they got divorced in the first grade, I remember we moved into the back bedroom of my grandparents, and we all four of us slept in that one bed. And so we didn't get a lot of crazy opportunities, and we're in the middle of Georgia. And so yesterday, we have some friends in our neighborhood that said, hey, would you guys like to go sailing with us? Would you like to go sailing? I'm like, yeah, what kind of question is that? I love to go sailing. And so we get out there and we go, and they call us in the gate, and he goes, oh yeah, you're going to the yacht section. I'm like, the yacht section? Okay. Like, okay. Like, I wanted to roll my window down to everybody going, you know where the yacht section is? That's where we're going, to the yachts. You know, like, I've never done that before. Like, we've never had that opportunity. And so we get on the boat. And of course, if you've ever been boating, I know we're in Bluffton, we're close to the water and all of that, but there's a lot that goes into it, and especially sailing. There's so much that goes into it. And he was showing me, you got to, like, there's certain words like port side and I don't remember the other side, but the... Yeah, there you go. And different sides and different terminology in the rope, and you have to turn the rope, and you have to go it, and you got to make sure you jive because the thing will pop over, all these different things, code words and slang. And so he's teaching me, and of course I'm getting like a workout in and doing all of this. And then he goes, hey, would you like to drive? I'm like, yeah, that would be awesome. And he's got this big like captainship. I'm like, I've never done this. This is amazing. And he's showing me all these gauges and GPS things. He's like, okay, now when you're driving, here's what you got to look at. It's really, really simple, really easy. All right, just make sure you're on the depth. Make sure you're right depth. When you're on the GPS, make sure you're headed in the right direction, because you don't want to go too far. And on a sailboat, sometimes you got to go this way, and then this way, and then this way, and then this way. And he's like, then I want you just to make sure that the wind is coming at the right angle, because it'll kick the sail to the other side. I'm like, okay. Like, you said this was easy. And he's showing me all these gauges. And then at the very end, he goes, okay, everything I just told you was just precautionary. I want you just to look forward and find a spot on the shore and keep the boat on that line. Keep the boat on that line. And I'm sitting there driving. And last night, I'm praying through this message. And I'm like, oh, man, how often in our life are we headed down a road, or we're headed down a path, and it feels like I got all these things to focus on, all these things to keep in line, and Jesus goes, wait a second, I just want you to focus on one thing. Fix your eyes on me. Watch me. Watch what I do. Look at my word and what my word tells you that to do, and walk in my ways. If you will just, like, all the year, I get that. But if you will just focus on me. And when boats would come by, like, they come racing by and they would create wake. And all of a sudden, like, we're going back and forth. And he's like, remember, just watch that and you'll keep the boat on there. And how many times in our life is it gets crazy in circumstances and situations that you can't control and I can't control, But God is saying, recalibrate in those moments and keep our eyes focused on who Jesus is. Believe in our heart that He is a risen Savior. Believe in our mind that our actions will follow after what we believe. And if we keep our eyes focused, keep moving towards and saying, I believe Jesus at His word. I believe in what He's called us to do. And I am going to continue to move forward. And in the craziness and in the chaos, we calibrate. Okay, let me get back to God's word. Okay, let me get back to what His ways say. And a lot of times, especially early on in my ministry, when I started, I would wait on permission or even a title to begin to act in what God has called me to do. And God is saying, a lot of times we are waiting on God to invite us when He's saying, I've already given you the promise. And as long as I've given you the promise, you can walk in that promise right now, today, as we read His word and walk in His ways, that we can walk and believe in that. And God is saying, if you will trust me and believe in my promises and believe in my ways, you can gird down. You can take that forward. You step. You can move forward. You can believe what God has called us to do. And I read that. And a lot of times I begin to think and go, okay, not only for my life, what steps do I take? What does that look like for me? And then I even think about our church, the Bridge Church. You see, we started as a small group a lot of times in my living room back in September, and we would meet on a regular basis and pray. And one of the things, and Jason and I have been talking for honestly a year and a half about what God has wanted to do in our hearts. How do we want to gain ground? How do we want to be known in the community? How do we want to push forward? And each and every day as we think about it and saying, hey, God is, like, we don't have to come into a community and wait on permission to share God's love with people. God is saying, take those steps, trust me. And we want to be known for serving the people in our community. We want to be known for reaching out and being a family together here in this room on Sundays, a family together in small groups, and also reaching out and serving our community and saying that, hey, church is not just about a Sunday morning thing. It's also Monday. It's also Tuesday. It's also Wednesday, because His promises are still there. The Holy Spirit still works inside of us each and every day. And we want to take those steps every single day towards Christ. And as we continue here, God has shown us what happens here at the end of this verse and what Jonathan does here at the end. And this is what he says. It says, so Jonathan said to his armor bearer, climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel. I love that. Love that. How much does that speak about Jonathan? He's saying, we asked God what we should do. He answered and showed us this is the way we should go. And every day He has given us the way in which we should go. He's given us His word. He's given us the Holy Spirit to lead inside of our hearts that direct us and guide us on a daily basis. And He's saying, now that we know we've calibrated the ways that God is calling us, and He's saying, now we have confidence in how we can walk in that. Climb up after me. The Lord has given them into our hand of Israel. This is not my notes, but I just feel like we need to sit there for a second. Because God has called us to work and to live not for victory, but from victory. We have victory in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is inside of you and inside of me. And no matter what kind of attack or what's happening in our lives, we can walk from victory in Jesus' name. And that's what He's called us to. And you notice He's speaking, climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hands. He hasn't even fought yet, but He's proclaiming what's going to happen. And sometimes we have to walk by faith and not by sight. That's a part of our Bridge code, is saying, hey, we speak at what our eyes may not see yet, but we speak it in faith because we believe Jesus and His word. We believe what He has called us to do inside of our hearts. Verse 13, y'all get me excited. We need to calm down and close the message here. Verse 13, Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet with the armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer followed and killed behind them. In the first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in the area about half an acre. I want to see foothold number 3 here. Foothold number 3 is be willing to move forward in the face of opposition. Be willing to move forward in the face of opposition. I'm going to read one more little verse here in just a second. But I love this picture because he's way up on this hill. And if you know, and about military, if you grew up maybe playing paintball or anything like that, if somebody is above you and you're walking down a valley, you're at an extreme disadvantage, right? Because they're up on the hill and they can fire down on you, or they can throw a spear or a rock or whatever it is, you're at an extreme disadvantage. But Jonathan sees it, and he knows that God is going to work on his behalf, and he begins to climb up the hill with his hands and his feet, just crawling up the hill because he believes in what God has called us to, and he's willing to move forward. He's willing to push forward, even though it's going to take work, even though he's about to face opposition. But in fact, sometimes I believe that when we face opposition, and we're like, oh man, maybe I'm outside of God's will. Maybe I'm straying from God and this is happening and I don't know what it is. And I would even argue the fact that if you're pursuing God and pursuing His ways and pursuing what He is calling you to do, and you're facing opposition, there is an enemy out there who does not want that for your life. There is an enemy out there who wants to stop, who wants to, the John 10:10 says, wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants to stop us from walking in the ways of the Lord. And if he can make us comfortable like King Saul, sitting under a shade tree, he wants to do it. Because our flesh wants to do what is comfortable. But God has said, I'm calling you to gain ground. And sometimes gaining ground is not pretty, is it? Sometimes all we can literally do is when we wake up in the morning is to take that one step. God, I don't have a ton of time, but maybe I got time to read one verse. Maybe I got time to memorize one promise, just one promise that'll get me through this entire week. And it's little by little, and those little steps as Jonathan is crawling up this hill because he believes in what God has called him to do, that he believes that they're going to have victory. And I want to show you just this real fast verse of this little by little notion of sometimes when we read God's Word, we may go, okay, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to read Genesis through Revelations, and I'm ready, I'm going to sit down, right? But God is saying, little by little, if maybe we're not in God's Word at all this week, maybe I could just be in one verse. I'm going to write that verse down. I'm going to carry it with me everywhere. If all I got is my time in the shower, I'm going to put that verse in a Ziploc bag and I'm going to tape it up on my shower, and that's all I got, right? But I'm going to take what I have in that moment and I'm going to read it. I'm going to focus my eyes. I'm going to calibrate myself in the morning before I get up, before I go. Just that one verse, little by little, take that step. And I believe God can do something with that few, even if it's just one step. Real quick, you guys okay if I just do one verse and then we close? In Exodus 23, he has given the Israelites this promise that you are going to take the promised land. But this is what he says and how it's going to happen. He says, little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. I will establish your borders from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea, from the desert to the Euphrates River. I will give them into your hands, the people who live in the land, and you will drive them out before you. Do not make a covenant with them and their gods. Do not let them live in your land, or they will cause you to sin against me because of the worship of their gods will certainly be a snare to you. God is saying, little, I'm still going to give you that promise. I still have a belief that you can walk in victory in Christ, but sometimes it takes that little by little step. Saying, I'm willing to take that. It may not be pretty, but I'm going to read that verse. I may not understand that verse, but I'm going to take that step. I may not know, or maybe God, you've been coming to church for a while, and God is saying, hey, I want you to serve. I want you to pour out what God has placed inside of your heart. You're like, I don't really know what to say, but I'm going to take that one step. Hey, how you doing? High five a kid as they're coming in, right? And we're serving in that moment, or I'm giving that smile or that handshake as somebody walks in and can change their day. Or give them that hug. I'm just taking that one little by little step. Or maybe for you it's saying, hey, I've been coming to church, I've been reading His Word, I'm ready to pour into somebody. I just need maybe a small group in children's. I can pour in the knowledge that God has placed in my heart, but I'm not sure about everything. If I could just take that little by little step, no matter where we are, that we're willing to move forward even when it's hard, even when we're facing opposition. And I'm so excited about this series because we're going to be talking over the next 2 weeks. Jason's going to be teaching and he's going to dive into the Word, and even we're going to be talking about some of the spiritual warfare and how those attacks and how to counter those attacks by God's Word and God's truth. And he has an incredible testimony. He's going to be sharing some of that testimony with us as well. And as we unpack this series, but what I want us to read, I want to read this last verse and then we're going to close and we're going to get ready to pray. We're going to sing a song together, and I have just this one little thing I'd love to do at the end of this, but Galatians 6:9, it says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. God is saying little by little. And my prayer for you and my question for you is, what is that little step that God is asking you to take? What is that little step that you can continue? Just like Jonathan, it may not be pretty, but I'm going to crawl. I got some dirt underneath my fingernails. I'm going to crawl and I'm going to push and I'm going to climb the hill and I'm going to move forward towards God, and I believe in what He's called me to do. And what is that little by little step that God is calling you to make for you to trust Him in His ways? And I'd love to take just a little bit of time. The worship team is going to come up here in just a few minutes, and we're going to sing a song, and it's a powerful song, and the song is called Death Was Arrested. And it has some promises and some truths that we can hang on to. But I love to have the opportunity, and I'm going to just hang out up front here, and Pastor Jason's going to come in here in a few minutes, and he's going to stand with us as well. And if there's something in your life where you're just, I would just love prayer for it. I'd love to pray for you this morning. We can also, Miss Amber may come up as well if you want prayer, but we would love to pray over you and believe God's promises in you and believe that God can do something incredible through you and what God and the steps that God is asking us to take. But as I close, I'd love to, for us just to stop a moment and go, where am I at right now? Where do I need to calibrate, or where do I need to recalibrate? What do I need to focus on? What promises is God speaking into my life and speaking into my heart? Maybe it's going back later this week and looking through 1 Samuel 14 again and believing and saying, you know what? I believe God's going to work on my behalf this week. I believe that He will move in my life each and every step if I will trust Him and take that step towards Him. And I'm not saying that, hey, now it's going to be easy. Now, hey, everything, the seas are going to part and you're going to walk back through and everything you do is going to be easy. You see, Jonathan received the promise for victory, but he still had to go and fight. He still had to wake up that day. He still had to push forward. But it was in that moment of believing what God had called him to do that he saw that victory. And God wants to work through you in an incredible way to take that little by little step. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for loving us. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for seeing us, God, in our sin, in our hurt, in our guilt, God, and that you loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross for us, God. And when he died on the cross, God, we believe that 3 days later he rose from the dead with our freedom in hand, God. That I can walk in freedom because of what you have done for me. God, I pray freedom over each and every person in this room. That no matter what opposition is thrown at us, no matter what the enemy tries to shake us up with, God, I pray that we will press forward towards you, Jesus, that we will fix our eyes on what your word says. We will fix our eyes on your truth. God, I pray that we will be a church that will call on your name. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe that you will work on our behalf, God. And I just pray that if there's anybody in this room who just needs that moment to come together and to pray and believe, God, whatever it is. It could be a prodigal a son or daughter who has drifted away. It can be a situation at work. It could be, God, just give me strength during this time. It could be anything during those moments, God. But I pray that we will call on your name, that we will trust and believe in what you've called us to, God. I pray that we'll take those steps to grow closer to you, and we'll see your kingdom here on earth, God. That people will see you in and through us. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.